Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Today is Saturday, October 3rd, and today we are talking all things voting. Today marks exactly 1 month until Election Day. And of course, mail-in voting and in-person early voting are already underway in some areas. So the nonpartisan, nonprofit Rock the Vote is here to help us navigate this very unique election year. We're talking about the changes to voting and polling sites because of the pandemic, best practices for mail-in voting if you are going that route, and you'll hear about voter trends and predictions. We're also answering frequently asked questions and talking about the potential timing of getting results after Election Day. You might remember Rock the Vote from their first partnership with MTV back in the 90s. Well, the group has continued that work as the largest national organization focused on getting young people across the country to exercise their right to vote. Today, Rock the Vote's president and executive director, Carolyn DeWitt, is here to help us all get clear about making our voices heard before or on Election Day. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's special edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Carolyn. Thanks for coming back on The Newsworthy.
Hi, it's great to be here. Excited to get chatting.
So I first want to talk about voter trends this year. The U.S. Election Project says more than 1 million votes have already been cast in the November election, and that is an increase over the last presidential election at this time in 2016. So why do you think we're already seeing such an uptick in early voting, and what are you expecting for voter turnout for the rest of early voting as well as voter turnout overall?
The reality is because of COVID and the risks of exposing oneself to COVID and the stresses on election administration and the fact that we need to make sure that we have polling locations open and poll workers and all of that, there's been a huge emphasis of trying to promote what we call flexible voting options. So voting absentee or early voting. And what we're really hopeful and excited about is the fact that people are taking advantage of these options, which helps us increase turnout while also reducing the number of people who are going to be voting in person on Election Day, which helps the entire system work better. So we're really hopeful that we're seeing the beginning of a major turnout in the 2020 election.
So you think it won't just apply to early voting, that it will be voter turnout overall will be up this year compared to 4 years ago?
Yes, I definitely think that's true. We even saw just from, you know, we at Rock the Vote focus on youth voters, which millennials and voting eligible Gen Z comprise nearly 40% of the electorate this year, giving them, you know, enormous power to determine the direction of communities and countries. But these are very large generations, very populous. And so what we saw in 2018 is that youth voters actually broke turnout records for midterm elections. And we are hopeful and expect them to do the same thing in 2020, which means there will be a lot of people voting.
Yeah, let's talk about any other voter demographics that are noticeable this year.
Well, we're definitely seeing youth throughout. We're also seeing a lot of women, which is not terribly surprising. Women tend to actually turn out at higher rates than men tend to. And so we're continuing to see those trends as well.
So I want to talk about mail-in voting. It's become quite controversial in 2020. On one hand, there's no evidence that says fraud with mail-in voting is an issue. On the other hand, there is a real concern about states' ability to manage record mail-in ballots. You know, we're seeing more mail-in ballots than ever before because of the pandemic. So what's your take on the pros and cons of mail-in voting? What do people need to know?
Voter engagement organizations like Rock the Vote and many others have actually been huge proponents of vote by mail. We also call it vote at home. We also call it absentee voting, because the reality is the idea, no matter what you call it, is you complete your ballot at home, has many benefits. You can take your time with it. You can do research. You can, you know, fill it out halfway and come back to it versus waiting in line and complete it and waiting to vote. The benefits of it are enormous. What we've seen this year is 22 states are either proactively sending out absentee ballots or absentee ballot request forms. I know that there's been a lot of narrative of, you know, how can states know that I'm not going to vote twice? Or I got two absentee ballot request forms in my mail. Those are absentee ballot request forms. They're not ballots. And also the reality is states actually have the ability, there are systems in place to make sure that people do not vote twice. There have been many, many studies done about the rate of voter fraud. There have been investigations both by the Trump administration and the Bush administration. And the rate of voter fraud that all of these studies and investigations find is that it is about 0.000000. I mean, just basically like non-existent. And in many states, you can actually drop off your ballot. So if you're feeling a little iffy about it making its way in time to be counted, you can, in most places, actually drop it off at designated drop sites.
One of the concerns that's been discussed that I'm curious your take on is just the post office and states in general feeling overwhelmed because they've never dealt with so many mail-in ballots before.
So the concern really is not about the ability to process this. It's the amount of time it's going to take. So we are very spoiled in our democracy that we find out about who won the election the day that we vote. That's what we've become accustomed to. And the reality is that we are being told that it will probably take between 7 to 10 days, roughly, for us to know the election results. I would even caution that, as that's when counts will have happened. But the reality is there are a couple different components in that. Things could have been improved. I would start with this. There is a lot of pressure on election officials this year, and they could have been better supported and resourced. So it means that we need to be patient as voters. It also means that we need to be very vigilant and proactive. In the 24 to 72 hours after the election, it's going to be really important for voters to pay attention to their mail, to their email, to their county election website, proactively call up your county clerk or county registrar and make sure that your ballot was actually counted, make sure that your ballot wasn't contested or there's no issue you need to resolve. That's going to be immediately after the election to make sure that your ballot is actually counted. And then chances are elections will be very close, and so we will have to have some recounts.
Still ahead, the answer to the most common question Rock the Vote is getting about voting. We also talk about the pandemic's impact on in-person voting and poll workers, best practices for mail-in voting, and an upcoming deadline we should all know about. But first, a quick break to thank our sponsor, SteadyMD. If you're like me, you're thinking about your health now more than ever. Thankfully, there's a practical way to take control of your health from the comfort of your own home. It's a service called SteadyMD. You start by taking a quiz to get matched with a licensed primary care physician who understands your health needs. You have a one-hour appointment with your new doctor, and you establish a meaningful relationship with them. And after that, your doctor's available to you anytime by text, phone, or video chat. So this is not a random doctor who's on call. Each doctor at SteadyMD actually takes the time to listen to you, and they can do almost everything an in-person doctor can do, perform medical evaluations, talk to you about current or ongoing health concerns, send prescriptions to your home or pharmacy, and anything they cannot do, they'll get you all set up with the right in-person provider for you. You do not need insurance for this. It's only $99 a month, no copays or extra fees for that primary care. So take the free quiz and learn more. There's no commitment to get started. Go to steadymd.com/newsworthy. That's steadymd.com/newsworthy. Now back to my conversation with Rock the Vote's Carolyn DeWitt. All right, let's talk about frequently asked questions when it comes to voting. What would you say is the most common question about voting this year?
How do I vote? I think there's a lot of confusion. I mean, at Rock the Vote, we really specialize in young voters who are new voters. They're unfamiliar with the process and they're doing this for the first or second time. And everyone kind of feels like a new voter right now.
And let's help answer that question. Can you briefly walk us through all the different options for how to vote?
The Constitution gives states the right to set voting policies. It's actually one of the things that makes it very complicated in our country, because you at least have 50 different ways of doing things and 50 different deadlines. But some states even give counties the ability to set voting policies as well. So some things even are more localized. Generally speaking, there is absentee voting, is the idea that you complete your ballot at home and you either drop it off or you mail it in. Then there is the option of voting early in person. Some states call it in-person absentee voting. Just think about it as you are absent on election day, but you are voting in person. And then, of course, voting in person on election day. The one thing I would say to all of this is, because of the challenges that coronavirus have presented in things like some polling locations need to be shut down. So a lot of polling locations are actually in senior centers, which we want to make sure that we're reducing the risk and exposure of COVID to those senior citizens. So polling locations might need to be moved. We also have a major shortage of poll workers this year. So about 60% of poll workers are over the age of 60, which is the most at-risk age group for complications from COVID. And so what we've seen even prior to 2020, but is worsened in 2020, is a huge shortage in poll workers. If you don't have poll workers, you don't have poll sites. We can't take anything for granted this year, even if you think you know where your polling location is because you've voted there for the last 20 years. You need to look it up and make sure that that is still your polling location.
And some reports have said that young people are stepping up, at least in some areas, to work the polls this year. Are you getting questions about that? And what should people know if they're interested in helping out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are definitely promoting Rock the Vote, and several other organizations and brands and influencers are really promoting recruiting poll workers, particularly from the youth generation. So those under the age of 40 who are healthy, who feel comfortable volunteering, and sometimes they're actually paid, in most cases they're paid a few hundred dollars. And so it's a great thing that you can do for your community and can see your neighbors there.
And for people who are taking the vote by mail route, what are some best practices to keep in mind?
The important things to know when you are voting absentee is, one, there are deadlines for requesting an absentee ballot, and there are deadlines for returning your completed ballot. Most of us who are very busy, just by human nature, wait until the last minute and we think, okay, as long as I get it in by the postmark deadline, I'm good. And that is not the deadline to really pay attention to this year. The deadline to pay attention to is the received by deadline. So you want to make sure that it can make its way through the mail and that will be received by the deadline there. The other components that just to pay attention to is, make sure you follow the guidelines with your ballot very closely to reduce the risk that your ballot will be contested. If you have multiple signatures that you use, I know my signature has changed over the last few years, use the signature that is in file with your Department of Motor Vehicles. That is the signature that it will be matched to verify. And then if you decide, a lot of people think, oh, if I requested my absentee ballot and it hasn't come, I can't vote in person. That's actually not true. You have the right to change your mind. So let's say you even got your absentee ballot and you decide you actually want to go vote in person. You have the right to do that. So your vote won't count twice. You will have one spoiled ballot a lot of times. They'll spoil it or they'll discard it, or they may record it so that you use that ballot. But states have processes to actually manage this. So it's important for people to know their rights when it comes to voting. And you can do that at rockthevote.org.
Let's talk about voter registration. The very first thing people need to ensure is done before they can vote. What do people need to know about it? Is it too late already?
No, it absolutely is not. Do it immediately. So stop what you are doing and go to rockthevote.org and register to vote. So the first registration deadline is actually October 4th. October 5th and 6th is Several major states actually have registration deadlines. It's kind of the start of registration deadlines. So don't hesitate to register to vote, to notify those in your network to register to vote. And then I would also say, even if you think you are registered, over the last 4 years, we have seen 17 million voters have their registrations canceled and be purged from the voting rolls. So before your registration deadline passes, is to go to rockthevote.org and check your registration status to make sure that your status is active, that it is up to date, that it has your current address. And in case it's not, and you need to register to vote, you don't want to miss out on that.
As she mentioned, rockthevote.org has a ton of voting resources. You can search for information about your state, check your voter registration, and more. We'll link to it along with other voting resources in today's episode notes on our website, thenewsworthy.com. And as always, we'll keep you updated on election happenings and all the other news you need to know during our regular episodes Monday through Friday, when we provide the day's news in about 10 minutes. Thanks again for joining us. I'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.